Oh, very good, everybody. So again, I appreciate everybody coming to join us tonight. And tonight we're going to learn a piece based on something in Sefer Yehoshua. My daughter Atara and I are learning Sefer Yehoshua now with the Parish of the Malbim. And a few weeks ago, Atara's on her Tuyul Shinati right now with school, so she couldn't be here tonight. But we learned a piece a few weeks ago that really... It took me. I wasn't ready for it. It took me, and so I did a little bit of research, and I figured it felt to me like it was very fitting in my brother's memory to learn specifically this piece. And so we're going to learn a piece from Sefer Yehoshua. Hopefully, you haven't seen Sefer Yehoshua too recently, but hopefully you have. I should say, you know. But if you have, so then maybe a little bit of Chazara, and if you haven't, so then Tanakh is amazing. So let's get started. Here we go. We're in Yehoshua Perek Yud. So if you haven't seen Sefer Yehoshua in a little while, so the Givonim, you remember the Givonim? The Givonim were people who lived in the land of Israel, and they came to Yehoshua, and they lied to him. They told him, we're really not from here, we're from far away, and they convinced Yehoshua to make peace with them. God told us not to make peace with the people here, and that's what it says in the Torah. The Rambam thinks that we were supposed to try to make peace with the people here. The Rambam thinks it's only if they wouldn't accept our peace. So then, in fact, the Malbim writes that it was Hashkacha that they didn't accept our peace. I don't know if you could say this today, you know, but the Malbim said that if they would have accepted our peace, then we would have had to have worked it out with them, and we would have had to have lived, you know, with the different nations. But since they rejected our peace offerings, so then we had war. And at first glance, war is bad. Right, except the Malbim writes that had we, you know, been entirely victorious in war, then we would have had Eretz Yisrael all to ourselves. And so, that's not how it ended up in the end, anyway. Not because they did not accept our peace, but because really? Okay, amazing. Oh, I'm sorry, but you want me to keep it over here? I can put it over here. I don't know if it'll help, but I can put it over here.
It's grandma and my mom.
Okay, amazing. Amazing. Hey guys, how's it going? All right, amazing. No, that's the, this way. I'll leave it over here. If it'll work, it'll work. If it won't work, it won't work. I won't stand over like this though the whole time. Is that okay? I apologize. But you'll be able to hear me at least. Okay, amazing. Good. So the Givonim, they came to Yehoshua and they told him they were from far away. Yehoshua made a peace treaty with the Givonim. Okay, very excellent, very fine. Not so excellent maybe, but that's how it worked out. Yehoshua made a peace treaty with the Givonim. What happened next is very, very fascinating. The other kings living here in the land of Israel got angry at the Givonim because the Givonim made peace with the Jews. And so they went to attack the Givonim. So there was now, do you call that civil war? I don't think you call it civil because it's different nations. It's not the same, right? You know, but there was war amongst the different nations that were living here, not with us. We were standing on the side and they were fighting against each other. If you could imagine such a thing, right? And the Givonim, listen to this, the Givonim sent messengers to Yehoshua and they said to Yehoshua, listen, Yehoshua, we made an accord. We are now allies, like it or not. We made a deal. We're now allies. We are under attack. You need to come help us. And that's what he did. Yehoshua gathered together the Jewish army, and they went to defend the Givonim. And then the Navi tells us, everybody ready? Yeah. Vayhi kishmo Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim ki lakad Yehoshua esai veyachrima kasher asal iricho l'malka kena asal la'ayul malka v'chi yishlima Yehoshua givon es Yisrael vayu bikir bam. Sorry, I'm reading fast. Aunt Chani, I'm reading Yehoshua Perek Yud right now, right? And so she's over here, right? And I know that she has a Yehoshua, you know, somewhere nearby. That's why I say that, right? So Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim at the time, he heard that the Jews destroyed Yericho, that the Jews destroyed Ha'ai. Vayiru ma'od ki ir gedola Givon ka'achasarei ha'mamlacha v'chi gedola min ha'ai v'chol anshei giborim. And he heard that the people of Givon made a covenant with the Jewish people. They made a treaty with Yehoshua and the Jews. Vayal Yehoshua min ha'gilgal hu v'chol ama milchama imo v'chol gibor echayel. I skipped a few psukim right there on the page. Sorry, if you have a Tanakh, you'll see there's a few other psukim in there, but to just let the story flow easier for us tonight, Yehoshua took the Jewish army and ascended up to defend the Givonim against the attacks of the other kings of Canaan. Now, Vayomer Adonai El Yehoshua, God comes to Yehoshua and he says to him before the battle, Al tira mehem, do not be afraid of all of these other nations. Ki bi yadcha nasatim, lo yamod ish mehem bifanecha. They will be given in your hand. None of them will stand in front of you. Vayuhumam, and this is what happened. Vayuhumam Adonai lifnei Yisrael, vayakem makah gedola begivon, vayurdefem derech ma'alei beit choran, vayakem ad azekah va'ad makeda. And Yoshua defeated them, and he chased them. If we had a map here, this would be a lot of fun. You know, this would be a lot of fun. And we should do some tours. We're here, mamash, you know what I'm saying? You know, Tanakh stuff. You know, go out. It would be a lot of fun. Whatever, right? We can go to Ukraine too when it gets safer, you know? But we can do Eretz Yisrael also. You know, it's good too, right? Vayihi benusa mipnei Yisrael, and it was when they were running away from the Jews. Heim b'morad beis choran ba'adonai yishlich aleihem avanim gedolos min hashamayim ad hazekah. You remember this? And God sent down hailstones from the heavens that as they were in retreat, the stones fell down from the heaven by Yamusu Rabim Asher Mesu Be'avnei Abarad Me'asher Hogu B'nei Yisrael B'cheret. And more of the Kenanim died from these hailstones falling on them as they fled the battlefield than died in actual battle. They fled from the Jews and I don't know how many numbers, I don't have exact here, in the 12,000 people died when we took Yericho. That the Navi tells us. But not here, it doesn't tell us how many people. But more died from the hailstones that God sent down as they were in retreat than died in the actual battle. Az yidaber Yoshua Adonai Bayom Teis Adonai Yisrael Mori Lifnei B'nei Yisrael. Does somebody else want to translate this pasuk? Because I don't want to tip too bad. Anybody? No, you'll let me do. Yeah, Dov, you're my man, right? Thank you. And you owe me one from earlier. So good. So pasuk Yud Bet. Oz yedaber Yoshua ladonai.
And then Yoshua spoke in front of
Hashem. Also, listen to that booming voice that he has. It's very good, right? Biyom teis Adonai se'emori lifnei b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer li'enei Yisrael, Shemesh begivon dom, v'yareach be'emek ayalon. Do your best. It's okay. This is not the part that I was nervous about translating. You did that part already. In the Emek Ayalon, right? In the Emek Ayalon, where Modi'in is. The Emek Ayalon, right? So Yoshua said, right? Dov translated as said both times, which was excellent. No, Chesky, you disagree with Dov?
Yidaber.
What?
As Yidaber.
Okay, he will say, okay, in the future, maybe, good, right? Very excellent. What Chesky's pointing out, right? And what Dov, you know, also in his translation was, I'm sure, aware of, is that you'll notice in the pasuk that Yoshua talks twice, but he only speaks once. That made sense what I just said. I'll read it again, so you'll see it clearly now. Oz yidaber Yehoshua l'Adonai b'yom teis Adonai samari lifnei b'nei Yisrael. Then Yoshua spoke, right, to God on the day that God was giving the Amori to the Jewish people. Vayomer li'enei Yisrael, and he said to the eyes of the Jewish people, so second verb, first vayidaber and now vayomer, he said to the eyes of the Jewish people, Shemesh begivon dom, literally I'm going to translate, don't you tell me if this is good, the sun should be silent in givon, dom means to be silent, right? We just had in this past week's parsha, vayidom Aaron was silent, right? The sun should be silent in givon, v'yareach, and the moon, Be'emek Ayalon. The moon presumably should be silent as well. In Emek Ayalon. Now look at this next pasuk, it's great. Vayidom Hashemesh v'yareach amad, and the sun was silent, and the moon stood, presumably still. Ad yikom goyevav, until the Jews took vengeance against their enemies. Halohi ksuval sefer hayashar, is this not written about in the Sefer HaYashar, Vayamor HaShemesh B'chatzi HaShemayim V'lo Atzlavo Kiyom Tomayim, sorry. And the sun stood still, in halfway in the sky, and it didn't move like every other day. There's Machlokas in the Gemara, exactly how long the sun stood still for. Did it stand still for one day or up to 3 days? The Gemara suggests that the sun could have stood still. I wonder from a physics perspective exactly, you know, what that means. The Malbim actually tries to figure it out. If you look at the Malbim over here, he tries to figure it out, like exactly what happened. The Malbim thinks that only the sun and the moon stayed still. Now, when I was learning with Atara, I was like, wait a second, does he think that the sun is orbiting the earth? It can't be. There's no way. The Malbim is way too recent. I mean, it could be. It's possible. But he's way too recent. You know, he's well after Copernicus, right? You know, but exactly like from a physics perspective, everybody's with me, right? Because it's the earth that moves, right, around the sun. And so, it's from a physics perspective, exactly, you know, what happened? The earth stood still in its orbit, meaning like the whole orbit around the sun, everything just stayed, could be, maybe, is this possible? Right? The Gemara thinks that maybe it moved and then it stayed, and moved and then it stayed, moved, that's okay, different opinions. That is the Gemara from physics perspective, okay, fine. But there is really interesting machlokas harishonim, and this is really a side point in the shir, and so I apologize for doing this, but these are the things that interest me, and so I have to throw it in. But the Navi here says that this miracle is written about in a Sefer HaYashar, and you have to be wondering, what is that book? Yeah? Where is it? And can I get my hands on it? Who wrote the corollary Sefer, the history book, that can corroborate the stories of the Tanakh? Because if I could get my hands on it, that would be entirely amazing. And this is a machlokes harishonim. It's a machlokes between Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, which if you study Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, will not surprise you at all. Because Rashi and the Ibn Ezra had a machlokes about what the academics would call an open canon versus a closed canon approach to the Tanakh. Let me explain what that means very quickly. Rashi prefers what the academics call a closed canon approach to the Tanakh, which means that I have all of the information about the Tanakh inside of the Tanakh. I need nothing else to understand the Tanakh. So if the Tanakh tells me that there's a book called Sefer HaYashar, I need to know what that book is. In the Tanakh, I need to know what that book is. That's Rashi. And Rashi, in a number of places in the Tanakh, has a very similar kind of worldview. I'll give you an easy example. Everybody ready? Thank you so much, by the way. That's really, thank you. I appreciate that. No. I'm feeling it too, right? There is these two amazing ladies, right, in the beginning of the book of Shamos, right, that save Jewish babies, right? Their names are Shifra and Pua. Who are Shifra and Pua? Everybody here learned Rashi, right? Rashi read that pasuk. He said, Shifra and Pua, who are these ladies? I don't know who these ladies are, but I have to know who these ladies are. Because everything in the Tanakh is a closed system. I need to know who these people are. So if I have these two ladies that I never hear from before and I never hear about again, they have to really be somebody else. Rashi says, Yocheved and Miriam. That's Rashi. If you look in Ibn Ezra over there, Ibn Ezra says, who are these ladies? Shifra and Pua. Who are these ladies? I don't know who they are. I never met them before. I never meet them again. And that's fine. It's okay. There can be things in the Tanakh that I don't know. There can be things out there that I don't know. Right? Shir HaShirim. Yeah? Right? What does Shir HaShirim mean? So it can mean different things. You said Song of Songs. Song of Songs can mean the song which is made up of other songs. That's what Rashi says. Shir HaShirim is one song which is not really one song. It's really multiple songs that were put together. Shir HaShirim, the song made up of other songs. Why does Rashi say that? Because he doesn't want to say what Ibn Ezra says. What does Ibn Ezra say? Shir HaShirim, the best song. The best song. Well, if this one is the best, then what are the others? So Ibn Ezra says, I don't care what the other ones are. They make a difference to me. I don't care. There was other songs out there, and this was the best one. And Rashi says, no, that can't be. It's impossible that the Tanakh makes reference to other stuff that I don't know what it is. It has to be a closed system. And that's why Rashi says that Shir HaShirim doesn't mean the best song. It means a song made up of other songs, Shir HaShirim. It's all inside of the system. And here, Rashi and Ibn Ezra have the very same machlokas. Not about Shir HaShirim, not about Shifra and Pua, but about our understanding of the Tanakh, right? And so if you look in Rashi, Rashi here writes, Halo, he Iksuva, right, which is what the Navi said. The Navi said that this is, the miracle is written in the Sefer HaYashar. Davar ze nichtav batorah. It's Sefer HaYashar. What's Sefer HaYashar? Bereishis. Bereishis is Sefer HaYashar. Sha'omar lo Yaakov li Yosef zarosha l'Efrayim yemalei. Yaakov told Yosef when he switched his hands on Ephraim and Menashe, and Yosef said to him, no, dad, that's not right. Right, you know, Ephraim is the younger one. Menashe is the older one. You got it wrong. And Yaakov said, no, because Ephraim is going to be greater. Why is Ephraim going to be greater? Where is Ephraim going to be greater? It's right here. Because who comes from Ephraim? Yehoshua. And if you look in Rashi and Sefer Bereishis, he writes the same thing. Rashi over there writes the same thing. That what did Yaakov mean when he said that Ephraim was going to be greater? It's going to be Yehoshua. So when the Navi here says that isn't the greatness of this miracle written about in the Sefer HaYashar, it doesn't mean that in the Sefer HaYashar it says that the sun stopped and the moon stood still. It doesn't say any of that. It just says that great miracles would be performed for the descendants of Ephraim. That's Yehoshua ben Nun. That's the reference over here. Because that, so Bereishis, I'm sorry, is the Sefer HaYashar that the Navi Yoshua is talking about. But if you look in the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra is not here in Sefer Yehoshua, the Ibn Ezra is in Megillas Esther. Ah, another one. So here's another machlokas. Are you ready? Look at Esther Perek Tes, the very end of the Megillah. Uma Amar Esther Kiyam Divrei Apurim Ha'ele. The words of Esther were established in Divrei Apurim Ha'ele, the words of the Purim, V'nichtav Ba'Sefer, and was written in a Sefer. Well, what is that Sefer? Where is it? What Sefer is it? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Esther Biksha Meis Chachmei Ador Lekvav Lechtov Sefer Zem Sharek Suvim Bizeu Nichtav Sefer. What Sefer is it? Megillas Esther! It's talking about itself! V'nichtav Sefer, the Sefer that we're reading right now! We're almost done when you get up to that part. It's talking about Megillas Esther! But if you look in Ibn Ezra writes, V'nichtav Sefer Bapischos HaBeis, which means that it's V'nichtav Sefer. Ba-Sefer means the specific book, not just in a book, but in a specific book. Hu hayadua biyameyem ve'ovar ha-Sefer. And they had a book. The Jews in Persia, when they wrote the Megillas Esther, knew which book it was talking about. But it's not a book that we have. I don't know what book it is, and that's totally okay. There's another book out there that talks about the story of Purim, would corroborate the story, which, by the way, would be an amazing book to have, right? Especially when it comes to Purim, because Purim is very, very difficult to place historically. Very, very difficult. You would think that it's very easy to place Purim historically, because we have so many characters that we can look for. Achashverosh and Haman and Esther and you would think. But it's very hard to place Purim historically. It's very difficult. So if we had this Sefer that Ibn Ezra is talking about, I would much appreciate it, as I'm sure would everybody else, right? But you see the point that I'm making. Oh, and by the way, and very end, and what does Ibn Ezra say then after that? Kasher lo matzanu. Sefer HaYashar. Just like we don't have the Sefer HaYashar. Well, I assure you one thing. Ibn Ezra had the book of Bereishis. That I know for sure. So when Ibn Ezra says we don't have the Sefer HaYashar, what's he saying? He's saying, if you look in the book of Yehoshua, it says that there's a book called the Sefer HaYashar, which talks about the miracle of the sun stopping over Givon and the moon stopping over Emek Ayalon. And I don't know where that book is. I don't know. We lost it. Lost to the annals of history. So machlokes between Rashi and Ibn Ezra, exactly what it means. All of that is ancillary to the shir, but I find that so fascinating. And so I hope that you find that fascinating as well. Good? Everybody good. So let's just finish the psukim. Go back to Yehoshua for 1 second. The last pasuk yedaled. V'lo haya kayom ahu lefanav v'acharav lishmoa Adonai b'kol ish ki Adonai nolcham liYisrael. Entirely amazing. And you never find such a thing ever again, that God listens to the decree of man, that Yehoshua said that the sun should stand still and then it stopped, and the moon should stand still and it stopped. And why did God do that miracle? Ki Adonai nilcham liYisrael. To show that God was fighting for the Jewish people. To show that God was fighting for the Jewish people, he did this grand and this great miracle. Amazing. Now let's learn a Rashi. If you look at the Rashi on the bottom in Pasuk Yud Bet, The Navi said in the part that I bolded on the top, Uz Yedaber Yehoshua. Right? Then Yehoshua spoke, or then Yehoshua will speak. Right? Like Chesky said. And so if you look in Rashi, he writes in something entirely amazing. This is the Rashi that caught me when I learned it with Atara, and this is what I wanted to share with you tonight. And we'll elaborate on this Rashi for a little bit. Omar Shira. When the Navi says, Uz Yedaber Yehoshua, it means that Yehoshua sang Shira. Why did Yehoshua sing Shira? Rashi says, Tachas Hashemesh, in place of the sun. Why? Lefisha Omar Lashemesh Dom. Because Yehoshua told the sun to be silent. Dom Milomar Shira. He told the sun to be silent from singing the sun's song. V'cholzman shehu domeim omeid ve'eino mehalech. And if the sun wasn't singing, then the sun wasn't moving. This is so interestingly backwards that Rashi says. Is everybody here with me? Yehoshua said to the sun, dome. That's why when I translated right from Dove, I said that Yehoshua said to the sun, he said, Shemesh begivon dome, which means the sun should be silent. Yehoshua did not tell the sun to stand still, according to Rashi. He did not. He told the sun to stop singing its song. Rashi says that the sun is constantly singing Shira. This is not a Hasidic Torah. This is a Rashi that I'm showing you everybody here. Yeah? Right? I'm going to show you a Midrash in a second. This probably is a Hasidic Torah, but it is, but I'm learning with you Rashi. Right? So the sun is constantly singing song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is the sun's song, this is how Rashi says it, that enables the sun to move. And when you stop singing, you find that it's harder to move. And so when the sun was quiet, because Yehoshua told the sun, Dome, to be quiet, the sun, Omeid ve'eno mahalech, shebechol eis hilucho haya omer shira. Because so long as the sun is singing, I'm sorry, the whole time that the sun is moving, the sun sings Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi says. Now Rashi did not invent this pshat. He did not. Rashi got this from the Medrash Tanchuma. And if we look in the Medrash Tanchuma elaborates on this story, and it's actually much more fun. So if you look in the Medrash Tanchuma, which you have on the bottom, the Medrash tells the following story. Mishasha shemesh zoreach ad shehu shokea, ein kiluso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu posek mipiv. That's from the time the sun rises until the time the sun sets, The praise of God does not leave from the mouth of the sun. Meaning the sun is constantly singing God's praise. How do you know that that's true? The Midrash says, we'll come back to this pasuk in a little bit. Shene'emar, mi mizrach shemesh ad mivo'o, from the coming of the sun until its setting, mihulal shem Adonai. I'm going to translate the way the Midrash wants us to translate, right? Which is, it, the sun, praises the name of God. And you find another support to this concept that the sun is constantly singing praise of God, because if you look at the war that Yeshua fights to defend the Gibeonites, Maksiv Sham, what does the Navi say? Oz Yedaber Yehoshua Lashem Shemesh BeGibeon Dom. That Yeshua said the sun should be silent. And now listen to this Midrash. Bikesh Yehoshua Lishatek Esachama. Yehoshua wanted to make the sun go silent. Lo amar lo shemesh begivon amod. Yehoshua did not say the sun should stand still in Givon. Ella dom. He said that the sun should be silent, like I said before. Lama amar dom. Why did he say that it should be silent? Because every moment that the sun is moving, it's singing God's praise. And so long as you sing song, you have strength to move forward. It's a deep Torah right there. It's a deep Torah. The Midrash says, Lakach omer lo Yehoshua sheyishtok. That's why Yehoshua says to the sun to be quiet. Shenemar shemesh begivon dom. Yeshua said to the sun to be quiet in Givon, but the sun didn't want to be quiet. The Midrash says, "Omar hashemesh liYoshua." Yeshua said to the sun, "Shemesh begivon dom." The sun responded back to Yehoshua. This is not written in the Navi Yehoshua. This is only in the Medrash Tanchuma. The sun responded back to Yehoshua, and the sun said, "V'chi yesh katan omer la gadol dom." Who do you think you are? The sun said to Yehoshua, I'm big. You know, me big, you little. The sun said to Yehoshua, you are going to tell me to be quiet. Ani nivrati barivi'i. The sun says, God created me on day 4. Ubnei Adam nivru bashishi. God created you on day 6, which means I'm older, the sun says. Va'ata omer li dom. And you are going to tell me to be quiet? I could hear this conversation going on in my house, you know? That was a joke. Only not. Omar le Yehoshua. Yehoshua said back to the sun, Ben Chorin Shehu Katan V'yeshlo Eved Zakein, Eino Omer lo Shtok? Yehoshua said to the sun, I'm a Ben Chorin. I'm a free person. What does that mean, I'm a Ben Chorin, as opposed to the sun? What does that mean? What is he talking about? Presumably what he's saying is, I make free choice. You don't. You are an Eved. I'm also an Eved. Yes? But a different kind of Eved. Right? You are an Eved of a certain kind. I am an Eved of a different kind. It's not really what the Midrash says, but that's what I said. Yeah? Yeah? And so, of course I get that. The analogy the Midrash gives is, okay, the son said to Yeshua, I'm older. Yeshua said, fine, you're older. But imagine that you have, a free person and a slave. So, if the free person is younger than the slave doesn't have to listen. Yeshua said, I am a freer than you are. And so you should have to listen to me. And now look what the Midrash says next. It's amazing. Avraham Avinu hikne lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamayim va'aretz. Now, this is strange. I'll tell you why. Shene'emar Baruch Avraham lekel oyon konei shamayim va'aretz. Now, what is the Midrash trying to say? The Midrash is trying to say that God gave the heavens and the earth to Avraham. The reason why I know that's what the Midrash is trying to say is otherwise it doesn't make Yeshua's point. The whole point Yeshua is trying to make is that the son needs to listen to me. But if you look at that pasuk, that's not really what that pasuk means. That pasuk is after Avraham Avinu fights the battle against the king of Sodom and fights the battle to save the king of Sodom, right, from Kedar LaOmer and his crony group of four kings. And so, if you look after that battle, there's this fellow there named Malki Tzedek, and Malki Tzedek says over there, right, this pasuk. He says, Baruch Avram lekel oyon konei shamayim v'aretz. Who is konei shamayim v'aretz? God is konei shamayim v'aretz. Blessed is Avraham to God who owns the heaven and the earth. But what the Midrash is saying is that God gave the heaven and the earth to Avraham. And I'm going to tell you why that's true in a minute. I'm not going to leave you with that. I'm going to explain this Midrash. We have a Shaila now against the Midrash. Everybody understands the question that it's not a big deal. It's fine. It's okay. It's fine. You know, whatever. But I think I have a Pshat. I'm going to tell you the Pshat. But first we have to keep going in the Midrash. V'lo od, Yoshua's still talking. Oh, you are the man. Thank you very much. So, Yeshua's still talking. Yeshua said to the son, listen, you might be older, but I'm freer, so you should listen to me. And then Yeshua says, V'lo od, but there's more. Ella, shehishtachavisa liYosef. Son, you think it's such a big shot. You bow down to Yosef. You bow down to Yosef. Shenemar, hila ha-shemesh v'yarech v'acharasor kuchavim mishtachavim li. You're not such a big shot, Yeshua says to the son. I remember when you bow down to my great-great-great-great-grandfather, whatever it is. Yeshua's from Ephraim. Right, I remember when you bowed down to Yosef. So you bow down to us. So you're not such a big shot, son. Va'at midaber kenegdi? Who do you think you are? Yoshua says to the son. Who are you? Oh, you're asking, who am I? Who are you? Heve shemesh begivon dom. So now I command again, Yoshua says. Shemesh begivon dom. Son, be quiet in Givon. Amar le hashemesh li Yoshua. Yoshua, the son is not done. He's not giving up. The son says back to Yeshua, "V'kacha tagozer alai she'edom, you really want me to be quiet?" Amar lehein. Yeshua said, yeah, that's what I want. Amar leh, the son said to Yeshua, "Umi yomar kiluso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." This is an amazing shaila. The son said to Yeshua, well, if I'm going to be quiet, who's going to sing my song? Who's going to sing the praise of God if it's not going to be me? Amar le, Yoshua said to him, Dom ata va'ani omer kiluso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoshua said to him, you be quiet, and I'll sing your song instead of you. That's what Yoshua said to the son. How do you know that Yehoshua said that he would sing the song of the son? Shene'emar uz yedaber Yehoshua. That's what the pasuk says when it says "Uz yedaber Yoshua ve'ein az ella shira," and "az" always means shira. How do you know that "az" means shira? Uz yashir Moshe. So Yehoshua sang a song, and man, do I wish that I had a recording? No. Do I wish that I had a recording? Because that must have been some song. I don't know that the son is a great singer. I don't know that. I have no way of knowing that. But I know that the son is a great singer. You know how I know the son is a great singer? Because how beautiful was it this afternoon? No? That was some song. No? Much better than that one. Yeah? Yeah. And so, what was the song that the son sang. And why did Yehoshua think that he could sing it just as well? Or why did he think that he could sing it better? And I have an answer to that question. I think I know the song the son sang. That's a tongue twister. And I think I know why Yehoshua knew that he could sing it better. That's what I want to do with the rest of our time this evening. If you turn the page over, there's an easy way and a hard way to get to the song of the son. I'm going to take the scenic route. Because that's much more natural for me. There's a much easier... No, not like to take the scenic route. But when I show you what the scenic route is and what the direct route is, it will make sense to know that the scenic route is much more comfortable for me to take. I'll tell you, it's interesting. I think to myself sometimes, and I really do think to myself sometimes, that y'all here in Efrat ended up with the wrong Feigenbaum. I'll tell you why I think that. I see my cousin in the back is laughing because he understands exactly what I mean. I'll tell you why I think that is because my brother, for whom we're saying the shir tonight, Chaim Yisachar ben Yechiel Zeidel Dov, would have been like a supernatural fit here. He would have been a supernatural fit here. I'm also a supernatural fit here, but that's because I fit everywhere. I'm so awkward. Whatever. that's not the point. But that's obviously wrong. Obviously you ended up with a Feigenbaum that you're supposed to end up with. This is the way it was supposed to be. And it had to be this way. And so I'm glad that I'm here, and I hope that you are too. But the path here, which is more natural for me, would not have been more natural for my brother. And so this year would have been inverse if he would have been saying it. At least I believe that. And so what is the song of the son? And why did Yehoshua think that he could sing it better? We're going to start with the Rambam, which is a scenic path. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, Perek Beis, is a very famous Rambam. The Rambam writes, V'ayichya derech lahavaso v'yiraso. How does a person develop Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? How do you do that? How do you come to love God, and how do you come to fear and have awe of God? How do you do that? The Rambam asks. And the Rambam answers, B'shosha yisbonein ha'adam b'ma'asav u'bruav ha'niflaim ha'gidolim v'yir'em mehem chokhmaso. The Rambam says, She'ein lo erech v'lo keitz. You have to go study nature, the first thing the Rambam says. You walk outside and you see the sun. You feel its rays this afternoon, and you look at all of the trees that are around us. They're still green for a little bit, a little bit longer. You look around and you see the world. You look at us. You see us. We're amazing. You look at everything that's around us. You realize God's grandeur, His creations. Miyad, and immediately, when you come to appreciate the grandeur of the world, who ohev u'mishabeach u'mifoer u'mitave ta'ava gedula leida Hashem hagadol kimo she'amar David samanafshi l'elokim l'kel chai, you immediately are drawn to discovery. You seek God out, and you're awed and amazed by everything that you find. You take in all of the existence of the world around you, and you just automatically, the Rambam says, it's just natural. You automatically develop a sense of awe about the world which is around you. And then the Rambam says, "Ukishemichashev badvarim ha'elu atzman miyad hu nirta la'achorav." V'yifached v'yodeya shehu bria ketana shfela fela omedes bedas kala muwata lifnei tamim deos. And then the very next emotion you have, right after, the grandeur and the awe that you have at this vast cosmos that God created is, my gosh, I am so small and so insignificant. And so at the very same moment, you develop both a love and an awe of God, and also a sense of Yira, a sense of a fear and humility that comes immediately from it. And so according to the Rambam, what is the song of the sun? The song of the sun is the song of the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did everybody see what I just did? I just made that up. But I made it up from the Rambam. I didn't make it up. Everybody's with me? Because according to the Rambam, that's the song of all of nature. The song of all of nature is Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem Kulam Bechachma Asisa Mala Aretz Kinyanecha. That's the song of all of nature, according to the Rambam. I walk outside, I look at the sun, and the sun is singing a song. What is the song that the sun is singing? The sun is singing, God is grand and God is great. That's the song of the sun. And why did Yehoshua think that he could sing that song as well, if not better? I think he thought he could sing it better because of another Rambam. There's another Rambam. This Rambam is in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam writes, "Bimei enosh ta'u b'nei ha'adam ta'us gadol." In the very beginning, in the days of Enosh, people made a very, very large mistake. And this was their mistake. Amru, they said, the people, the Dor Enosh, they made the following error. They said, God made all of these grand creations. God gives honor to the sun. How does God give honor to the sun? Well, God gives honor to the moon. How does God give honor to the moon? The sun and the moon, they are grand luminaries, kings of the day and kings of the night. If God gives honor to these luminaries, then we should give honor to these luminaries. And so people started to worship the sun. They started to worship the moon. Is everybody with me? You know why Yoshua thought that he could sing the sun's song as well, if not better? Because the sun's song is beautiful, but also dangerous. The sun's song is beautiful because you can see God's grandeur through the sun, but it's dangerous, and it was dangerous throughout history because people started to sing to the sun. People started to worship the sun. Interestingly, this is very, very good, I think. If you look in the Kli Yakar that I gave you over here, this Kli Yakar is Bereishis Perek Yud Bet. You know what Pasuk that is? This Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah? This Kli Yakar is when Malki Tzedek says to Avram, after he fights the battle against the four kings, and he says, Baruch Avram Lekel Yom Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. Yes, everybody with me? Look at the Kli Yakar. Kone Shamayim Va'aretz Lefi Shekodem Sheba Avram Haya Nikra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kel Elyon. You look at Rashi, he says that before Avraham Avinu came, right, God was Kel Elyon. He was the God in heavens, but he was not the God on earth. How come he was not the God on earth? Because people on earth were not worshiping God before Avraham Avinu came. When Avraham Avinu came, Avraham hikne shamayim v'aretz l'ashem. Ki pirsem l'cho mitzioso yisparach batachtonim. Avraham Avinu gave heaven and earth to God. Right? He gave heaven and earth to God. How did he give heaven and earth to God? Because he taught people in this world about God. Al Kain, his curates, Al Avram, Tamid, Kone Shamayim Varetz. Remember I asked the Shaila about the Midrash before? I said the Midrash quotes a Pasuk which doesn't seem to fit. Yeah, you remember that? What happened over there? Yoshua said to the son, listen, you should listen to me. Why should you listen to me? Because we own earth. What do you mean we own earth? Because Malki Tzedek said that Baruch Avram Lekel Yon Kone Shemayim Baretz. I said, what does that pasuk mean? That God owns heaven and earth. But why does God own heaven and earth? Kli Yakar says, because we gave it to him. God owns heaven and earth because we gave it to him. It's really ours. Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. It was ours. We gave it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu via Avraham Avinu. That's what Yoshua said to the son. He said, no, you listen to me. You think you're so big up there, but you're only linked with God down here because we gave it to God. That's maybe, could be. I don't know. Maybe that's too much. Maybe that's a step too far. But this is the first approach. What is the song of the son? The song of the son is the song of nature, is the song of God's grandeur. And why did Yoshua think that he could sing that song? He thought he could sing that song better than the sun, because he could explain to the world, like Avraham Avinu, all about God's place in the world. That's what Avraham Avinu did. He showed people the whole world. He said, look at this world. It's amazing. How did Avraham know? The Midrash says Avraham Avinu looked at the stars and he couldn't figure it out. Avraham Avinu looked around and he said, there must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the song. That's the song of the sun. And that's what Yoshua knew. That he could teach the world to sing that song. He told the son, yeah, it's okay. You be quiet. I'll tell the world about the grandeur of God. That's the song of the son, according to the Rambam, although the Rambam didn't say that. That's my reading of the Rambam in two different places. That's the scenic route to get to the song of the son. I'm going to go a few more minutes only, okay, everybody? There is a more direct route to get to the song of the son. The more direct route is something called Perek Shira. That's less natural for me. Perek than a Rambam. Perek Shira. What is Perek Shira? So Perek Shira is seven. There's seven prakim in Perek Shira. I'm not sure why they called it Perek Shira. It's seven prakim, but whatever. It's okay. It's like the Rambam called, you know, his Perush on Pirkei Avos the Shmona Prakim because it has 8 chapters. The man who knew what he was talking about, the Rambam, you know, right? But Perek Shira, it's called Perek Shira. It has 7 chapters. Okay, fine, right? But in the 7 chapters of the Perek Shira, it lists songs that are sung by creatures in the world, by entities in the world. Exactly who wrote Perek Shira is a little bit unclear. The Mabit, Rabbi Yishaya Trani, in his Sefer Beis Elokim, has Perek Shira. And in the Mabit, in the Beis Elokim, he writes that David HaMelech wrote Perek Shira. That's what the Mabit says in the Beis Elokim. We have no reference, I shouldn't say we have no reference. We have no complete version of Perek Shira until the days of the Rishonim. Rabbi Yosef Albo, in the Sefer Yikarim, says that anybody who says Perek Shira every day is Zoche L'Olam Haba. So Rabbi Yosef Albo writes in the Sefer Yikarim. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I should get a copy. I don't have it. I should get one, you know? But maybe I do. I don't think so, though. And I don't have a Beis Elokim. The Mabit in the Beis Elokim has the whole Perek Shira, and he has a Perush on the Perek Shira. Right, but okay, fine. But there is this Perek Shira, and if you look in the Perek Shira, if you look in the Perek Shira, the sun sings a song. Is a direct root, direct. I asked the beginning. I asked the Shaila, what is the song of the sun? And then I showed you a Rambam, and I said, oh, from the Rambam we can figure out the song of the sun. But there is a Perek Shira, and in the Perek Shira it tells us what is the song of the sun. I didn't have to do any of those gymnastics, and it's not exactly what I said. If you look, it's close, but it's not exactly what I said. If you look in the Perek Shira, Shemesh Omer, the sun says. Shemesh Yoreach Amar Zivula. I'll translate this one, Dov, don't worry. The sun and the moon stand Zivula. Zivula is one of the heavens. Anybody wants to know which one could ask Dr. Weinberg afterwards, right? Zivul is one of the heavens. Chazal assumed that there are 7 heavens, and the Zivul is one of them. So the sun and the moon stood Shemesh Yoreach Amar Zivula. The sun and the moon stood in the Zivul. Le'or Chitzecha Yahalechu. By the light of God's arrows, we walk. The sun and the moon walk. It's the machlokas harishonim in Chavakuk. This is a pasuk in Chavakuk. Linoga barak chanitecha. By the glow of God's spear, we are led. So again, what is the song of the sun? It's a beautiful song. Yeah, it made perfect sense to everybody here, right? Right? The pasuk in Chavakuk. What is the song of the sun? The song of the sun is the sun and the moon stood still in the sky. We walk by the glow of God's arrows and God's spear. That's the song of the sun. What does that mean? Good, everybody, good. Some confused faces, that's exactly right. What does that mean? What is the song of the sun? And so if you look in the Gemara in Nedarim on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara explains the song of the sun. The Gemara says, Dorash Rava va'amri la amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mai dichsiv, Shemesh Yareach Amar Zivula. What does Chavakuk mean when he says the sun and the moon stood in the Zvul? Shemesh Yareach Bizvul Mabayon. What are the sun and the moon doing in the Zvul? They're not supposed to be there. There's 7 heavens. The sun and the moon are lower than the Zvul. The Zvul is too high for the sun and the moon. What were they doing there? Oh, you see, Dr. Weinberg said he's nodding his head. He's like, yeah, I was wondering that. That's all wrong. Right? The sun and the moon are not supposed to be in the Zvul. Right? So what are they doing there? The Hoparak. The Torah tells us that where do you find the sun and the moon? In the Rakia. It's in a lower sky. It's not in the Zvul. So listen to this Gemara. Melamit sha'olu shemesh v'yareach me'rakia la'zvul. The sun and the moon ascended from the Rakia, where they naturally are, from level 2 to level 4. Thank you, Dr. Weinberg. From level 2 to level 4, up to the Zvul. V'omru lefanav. And they said to God, they said, Ribono shel olam. Imata osein din liven amram anu meirim v'im lav ein anu meirim. This is at the rebellion of Korach. When Korach rebels against Moshe Rabbeinu, and Korach was like, you know, making tumult amongst the Jewish people. The machlokes was boer amongst the Jews. The sun and the moon, they went up to God and they said, God, how could you allow Korach to badmouth Moshe Rabbeinu? It's enough already. You can't let this happen. The sun and the moon went to God and they said, they gave God an ultimatum. They said, God, if you deal with Korach right now, then we'll keep shining in the world. We'll do our stuff. But if you don't take care of Korach right now, God, then we're done. We're done. We're going to pack it up. We're going home. I don't know where they're going. You know, I don't know where they're going to go. But we're done. We're not going to shine the world anymore. The sun and the moon. They gave God an ultimatum. And listen to what God says to the sun and the moon. At that moment, God started shooting arrows at the sun and the moon. What kind of arrows do you shoot at the sun and the moon? I don't know. You know? This is like a Superman kind of question. You know what I mean? But God starts shooting arrows and throwing spears at the sun and the moon. Amar lahem. God said to the sun and the moon, "Bechol yom vayom mishtachavim lachem v'atem meirim." Every single day, there are people who worship the sun, and there are people who worship the moon, and you never complained. What? There's chilul shem shamayim every single day brought about by you, by the sun, and by the moon. Bichvodi lo mechitem. For my honor, God's honor, that people worship the sun and worship the moon, you never said boo. But bichvod basar v'dam mechitem. But for Moshe Rabbeinu's honor, now you guys are in a big uproar, a big tumult. Now you're protesting. I wasn't sure last night if I should be proud or if I should be sad. I wasn't sure. That it was time for bed, and he started to protest. He said, "Ze lo fair, demokratia, ze lo fair." I'm not lying to you. I took video. Protesting bedtime, mamash. I wasn't sure if I should be proud or if I should be sad. I didn't know what the correct reaction was. Yeah? But in any event, right, the sun and the moon, they come and they protest to God, and God says, "Now you protest? Well, you protest for Moshe Rabbeinu, you never protested for me." Every single day, people worship the sun, they worship the moon, and you guys never said anything. Ubechol yom v'yom. And ever since that day, yorin bahen chitzin v'chanitos u'me'irin. God has to shoot arrows and throw spears at the sun and at the moon so that they will come out and they will shine their light. The sun and the moon, from that day, from Korach's rebellion on, were embarrassed to come back out. They said, God, you're right. How can we go back out? It creates chilul Hashem. And God has to shoot arrows and throw spears at the sun and at the moon. And he says to them, get it, go. Get out there. You have to do your thing. Shenemar l'or chitzecha yahalechu. And that is what the pasuk in Chavakuk says. By the light of your arrows, we, the sun and the moon, walk. Do you understand what happened here? Do you understand? The sun sings a song. What is the song of the sun? Before Korach, I don't know what the song of the sun is, according to the Perek Shira. I know what it is according to the Rambam. Yeah. I don't know what it is according to Perek Shira. But after Korach, the sun started singing the song. And what was the song that the sun sang after the rebellion of Korach? The song of the sun was, "It's not me. It's not me. It's God." Is everybody with me? That's the song of the sun. It's not me, it's God. This, by the way, is a beautiful song. This is a song that my brother liked very, very much. A song that says that everything in the world is Yad Hashem. That's a song that my brother sang. He sang it a lot. He sang it loud. He sang it, what was that?
And clear.
And clear. He sang a lot of things loud and clear. He sang very well. He did. He was also like, how do you say, he got other people to sing too. He didn't just sing by himself. He got other people to sing along with him. Joel told me a beautiful story, which I totally believe. But Joel told me that he brought the Omek Adavar fellas to Hafter. David, you were probably there. No? I assume you were there. Right? What was that? Good. No, that's the whole story. I told you the whole story, that you went to play at Hafter. But Joel told me that Chaim sang in Hafter, and he He got all of the kids to. That's a hard job. I taught in Haftar. It's nothing to do with Haftar. It's a hard job, you know, to get kids to dance and to sing. It's not an easy job. I don't know, but no, it is an easy job. I don't know. You have experience. Don't look at me like that. Come on, right? You know, but to get kids to, you know, high school kids to sing and to dance, and it's and but he was the life of the party. He was always the life of the party, and he loved to make everybody laugh, except for my Aunt Chani, who he liked to bother. She's listening right here, which is why I can make that joke, because he thought, what was that? He bothered everybody because he thought it was hilarious. Yeah, he did. He did. But this song he sang Chazak. This song, that it's not me, it's not us. Everything in the world is from Hashem. Now, interestingly, he called it Emunah. It's really Bitachon, but whatever. A machlokas I have to have with him, I don't. No, it's not necessary. Right? But believing that everything in the world comes to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Bitachon. That's what he called Emunah. It's okay, it's fine. Right? It's all the same old bag. Right? You know? And he sang it strong. He sang it Chazak. But the truth is, that Yehoshua thought that he could sing that song better than the sun also. And why did Yehoshua think that he could sing that song better than the sun? This one I'll do very, very fast, very quick. I'm sorry, because I know I'm finished with my time already. But I'll tell you why Yehoshua thought that he could sing that song better too. Because do you remember the pasuk that we started with in the beginning, before, not Yehoshua, with the song of the sun? The song of the sun we learned from two psukim. One is Yehoshua. The other is a pasuk in Tehillim. The beginning of our Hallel, Tehillim Perek Kuf Yud Gimel. Dabra Melech writes, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Adonai, Hallelujah, Shem Adonai. Sing, you know, sing praise. Servants of God, sing praise to God. Yehi Shem Adonai Mivorach, Me'atavi Adolam. And the name of God should be blessed, Me'atavi Adolam, from now and forever. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivuo, Mihulal Shem Adonai. From the rising of the sun until its setting, God's name is praised. The Malbim, I told you I was learning Yehoshua with the Malbim, with my daughter Atara, because I love learning Malbim. The Malbim writes, you'll notice in the beginning of this parak of Tehillim, David HaMelech uses two different verbs to praise God. One is Hallel, the other is Oreich. Yeah? I'll show it to you again. Yeah? The first pasuk. Hallelujah, hallelujah, avdei Adonai, hallelujah, shem Adonai. Three times hallel. But the next pasuk, yi shem Adonai, mivorach, me'atav yadolam. Not mihulal, mivorach. It's not the same thing. Then the pasuk says, chiasmic structure, A-B-B-A, no, that's a lie what I just said. I'm sorry, it's a lie. It's not, because it's not chiasmic. No, that is chiasmic, but this is not chiasmic. Because this is A-B-A-B. Mimizrach shemesh ad mivual, mihulal shem Adonai. From the rising of the sun until its setting, back to Hallel. God's name is praised from Hallel. Right? And then the Malbim explains like this. Okay, fine. I gave you the Malbim here on the bottom. If anyone wants to read it, you can go take out a Malbim out to Hillim, or you can look on the bottom like this. But the Malbim writes that Hallel is general broad praise. General broad praise. Mivorach is specific praise. Something which is individual praise. If I praise God about something which is the general condition of the world, that's Hallel. If I praise God about something that happens specifically to me, that's Mivorach. Is everybody with me? That's Brech. That's what the Malbim says. And so the Malbim writes, you know what happens over here in this Pasuk? David HaMelech starts by saying that the world at large praises God. Mehulal. They praise God. Why do they praise God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Avdei Adonai, hallelujah, Hashem Adonai. The world at large praises God. How do they praise God? Because they look at the world around. This is what the Malbim says. They look at the world around them. They see this world is totally amazing. Praise God who made this world. But we have to do better than that. We don't just look at the world around us and we praise God in general because the world is amazing. You know what we have to do? The Malbim says, Yishem Adonai Mivorach. We have to give bracha. We have to praise God specifically because of things that happen to us in our individual lifetimes. You understand? I'm sorry, I just declined Jonah's call. Sorry, I apologize. Right? But is the beeping? Was it? He doesn't like that. Okay, fine. Whatever. I'm going to leave it to you. But you know, here's the point, what I'm trying to get at. Yehoshua knew that he could sing the song of the Son better. Why did he know that? Because the song of the Son is a general song. It's a song that looks at the world and says, the world is amazing. Thank God. And the song that Yehoshua sang was better. Because the song that Yehoshua sang was, look at what God did for me. It's amazing. And that personal song is a better song than the general song. And that's why Yehoshua said to the son, you can be quiet a little bit, son. The son said, well then, who's going to sing my song? And Yehoshua said, I'll do you one better. Watch how I sing praise, because God is helping and assisting us today, right now. That's a better praise than the son sings, which is a song that just says, God is great because the world is entirely amazing. That's a song that I learned, an individual song that I learned from my brother because I heard him sing it. A song that says everything that happens to us in our world comes to us directly from the Yad Hashem. Everything that happens, whatever it is, if it's good, if it's bad, he sang songs when things were really hard. And that gave him koach to move forward, because singing songs gives you koach to move forward. So long as you sing, you have strength to move forward. That's not me. That's a midrash that we already learned tonight. It's a Rashi in Sefer Yehoshua. And if you can sing songs when things are hard, then you walk through windows into heaven. Rabbi Pinkus writes this in the Sha'arim Batfilah. Yirmiyah says, I'm really finishing, I'm really done. This is a beautiful Torah. Yirmiyah says, Kumi roni balayla. L'rosh ha'shmoros. Shivchi kamayim liveich. Nochach b'nei Hashem. Why? What's the end of that pasuk? It's a beautiful pasuk, right? Until you read the end. What's the end of that pasuk? Because babies are dying in the streets from famine. It's a strange pasuk. Kumi roni balayla l'rosh hashmos. Get up, roni, sing, rina. Be joyous at night when there's famine and hunger and babies are dying in the street. Rabbi Pinkus writes in the Sharon Batzila, he says, sometimes there's terrible things that are happening and you're banging on the gates and the doors of heaven and you're asking God to let us in and to answer our prayers because these difficult and trying things are happening and you're stuck, you're frozen, you can't move because the gates are locked. And so you can't move and you stand there frozen, unable to move forward, banging and banging on the doors. But if you can find the bracha that you have, it's not the difficult things that are going on. It's something else. The bracha that you already have, that means that there's a different door which is open. Does everybody understand? It means that there's a window which is already open. And if I can give praise and thanks through the open window, I can backdoor my way into heaven. Does everybody understand that Torah that I just said? Sometimes things are difficult and they're trying and you stand at the gates and you bang and you bang and you can't move. But if you can find an open window, if you can find a bracha that you do have, if you can sing Rina, Kumi roni balayla l'rosh hashmaros. If you can sing Rina when things are hard, then you'll find ways to move. That door that's blocked in front of you might not open, but you can move forward if you find an open window on the back side of the building. And Yirmiyah says to the Jewish people, things are hard and difficult, and so we have to sing bakasha. We have to scream, I'm sorry, bakasha. But if we can find ways to sing Rina, then we can find back doors into heaven, to find back ways to the other side of the door which is locked, to receive bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a song that my brother sang loud. To sing Rina, to sing praise and cheerful songs of God. It gave him strength to continue to move forward in very difficult and trying times. And it gave me, I can't say it gave us because I don't know, but I know it gave me strength. I remember calling him when he was sick and him giving me strength, which is something that I'm sure everybody's familiar with from different contexts. But his song gave me strength to continue to sing Rina, and I pray that we find ways to sing Rina, to sing the song of the Son, but to sing it better than the Son, to find God in the world, but not just find God in the world, to find God in our lives. Continue to sing Rina, praise and thanks to God for His hand, His gifts, and His blessings. I pray that it continues to ever give us strength to continue to move, to continue to make progress, to continue to grow, to continue to sing the praise of God for ourselves, with our families, with our friends, and with all of Knesset Yisrael. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. And again, I pray that our learning and our brachos here tonight should serve Leiloi Nishmas Chaim Yisachar Ben Yechiel Zedel Dor. Neshama Shach and Aliyah. Thank you, everybody.